Marsupial. First thing people are going to hear is marsupial.
Marsupial.
All right, Brandon Chalmers. We missed last week because you were on an away mission.
Yes, I greatly apologize to literally the potential dozen of fans that we have here in fucking Duocast. So I really apologize. For some reason, my connection is going really poorly. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. If that happens, do me a favor. Let me know. I'll switch to audio only. I was away on business, visiting the suburbs of Chicago. Actually stepping my way into the wonderful city. Only enjoying its cold. I did manage to get a hold of some deep dish.
Which,
Jamie Noguchi. It is one of the few times where I chose to be antisocial and it won.
Yes.
Because we got back, or sorry, we got back, Jesus. We fly into Chicago, land in O'Hare, flew American, fine flight, no big deal. We land, we go to schedule a lift to come take us from O'Hare to our hotel. About, I don't know, give or take 15-minute drive or so. Not terrible. It took almost 2 hours to get a lift.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm not sure if it was user error based off of the representative that may or may not have had our company card on their account, not understanding how it works, or if it was a difficulty in the Lyft driver's understanding of the exact area where you're supposed to pick up Lyft drivers. At O'Hare, they have like a specific area.
Yeah.
For that sort of thing.
That's usually, I'm unclear what it is.
Either way, I didn't end up getting back to the hotel until about 8:30 Monday. Yeah. By the way, to give you an idea of how crispy I was, my day started. I was up at 4:45.
Oh my God.
I was at work at 6:00. To try and make sure I was okay and got a whole bunch of stuff done. Left work around 1:00 to get to BWI and then flew and everything else like that. So, like, I had been going for quite a while that day. So when we got back to the hotel, there was a consensus that they all wanted to do food. And mind you, you know, the part of the reason, by the way, that the lift took forever is it was transporting 6 of us together.
Okay.
The was to try and carpool.
Yeah.
You know, having multiple people come from across the country, try and get your flights in relatively around the same time, try and carpool, save the company a little money, be good to the planet. Got no fight there. No big deal. But in turn, that means when we got to the hotel, I was done. And apparently everyone else wanted to chit chat, and they ended up deciding that they wanted to go get food. Now, at the time, it was, with the wind chill, negative 14.
Ooh, no thank you. No thank you.
They decided, as a group, they were going to go get food. Now, literally, I texted my coworker, and as I'm texting him, hey, I'm ordering pizza, he texts, we're going down to the lobby, see you in 10 minutes. We're all going out to eat. I immediately, backspace, said, no, not we. You guys, have fun. I'm ordering pizza. I'll see you all in the
No, not we.
They proceeded in the bastion of food that is Chicago, in the greater Chicago area.
Yeah.
With a Portillo's within a half mile radius.
Oh, yeah.
They decided to walk to a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Why leave? Why leave Baltimore?
Why leave Baltimore? I don't. All I know is that I immediately went down, went downstairs, walked up to the front desk, said, "Hey, is there a place where I can get deep dish delivered?" The guy smiles and says, "Yeah, we got an awesome place down the street." I went, "Rad." He handed me a like postcard thing from behind the desk, mm-hmm. and goes, "Just go ahead and call them or place an order online. Give them the room number. They deliver here all the time. They'll deliver right to your room."
Oh, I'm like, so good.
Awesome. I don't even have to come back downstairs.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I call them, dude with the thickest accent I've ever heard, answers the phone, super nice guy. I tell him what I'm looking for. He's like, "I got you, no big deal." Sends me on my way. We're okay. I'm thinking, awesome, here we go. Second thickest accent I've ever seen shows up in a Chicago Cubs hat to come deliver my pizza. For the record, kids, if a grown man goes out in 14-degree weather and brings you deep dish,
oh yeah,
with the thickest accent required to deliver deep dish, and you don't properly tip him, and I mean, like, I lit this dude up with $10 for just delivery.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, just yeah. The effort of walking from his car into the hotel was just done, not even thinking about it. "Thanks so much, I appreciate it." Dude smiles at me, says, "No problem, let me know if you need anything else." Jamie, when they deliver the pizza, it has its own little server thing that has a serrated edge on one side. Whoa. To help cut the pie. Because they understand that the deep dish, even though you cut it, it slowly starts to form itself back together. It's all Kirby and shit. And no, they're like, "No, fam, we got you. Not only do we give you the little shooter cups with lids of crushed red pepper and Parmesan cheese, but the custom designed box that is hard sided to make sure to protect the pizza also came with plates, extra silverware, and also the serving thing."
Oh, yeah. Man,
they're fucking down to clown. And I had myself an experience, and it was delightful. And the next morning, I sat down at breakfast, at the Continental breakfast, with everyone else eating their terrible runny hotel eggs. And I sauntered up, and they're like, "Where were you last night?" And I said, "Eating deep dish. Where were you guys?" And there was a long pause, and they said, "We walked up Buffalo Wild Wings." And I was like, "Cool, how was that?" And my coworker, who I work with out of my Baltimore office, said, "I should have taken you up on deep dish." And I was like, "Good talk."
You're in Chicago. You're in Chicago on your company's dime, and you go to a place that you go to every fuck week? Come on.
Why go? Yeah, I went to France and went to their TGI Fridays. Like,
I mean, that would be an experience. Because it would be different, because it would be French, and the menu is slightly different.
No.
I agree with you.
That is a hipster and a half move right there. Just like, "That's right, yeah, you know, I go to foreign countries to go to their Chili's. You know, I can't get enough of those boneless wings." It's just like, no. I decided that no matter what, deep dish, even if it's kind of mediocre deep dish, is going to be better than anything else I'm walking to there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like within that area. And I should have known I was doomed with this group, because we got near the hotel and one of them got incredibly excited about going to the Costco, because they wanted to be able to say that they went to the Chicago Costco. And then I corrected them by saying, "I bet there's one closer to Chicago. This is like the second closest Costco to Chicago." And he kind of stared at me and he said, "Yeah, I still kind of want to go to Costco." Look, I'm not saying it's right, but I think sometimes letting white people do cultural appropriation is important. Because left to their own devices, it's Buffalo Wild Wings and Costco. And to expand our minds, I think we need to just like I'm going to feel a little adventurous, Karen. We're going to go take ourselves down to the Chinese restaurant. Like, you need a little bit of that. Yeah. Like, I need someone to get excited about something that is not whiter than white.
I
don't know what else to say to that.
Yeah.
Like, So, the rest of my trip was a trip, and it has been the longest week possible.
Yeah, because you came back for a show, right?
Well, you got to remember, I flew back in two full, 10-hour day meetings Tuesday and Wednesday, flew out Wednesday, got home – or sorry – gated O'Hare changed five times and the flight was delayed an hour.
Fuck, dude.
Finally got home. They forced me to check my bag, so that took an additional 35 minutes. Then finally get to my car and start to drive home when they were doing construction on 695. So I sat on 695 for another 25 minutes going nowhere. So I didn't get home until midnight-ish, 11:45. And then back up at 5:15 and be back at work at 6:30 the next day for my birthday, and then went and worked an 11 and a half hour day on my birthday. Then show Friday, then I haven't stopped.
It's your birthday.
Thank you for that, by the way. it was literally like I every day for my to-do list, I try and put everything together. And to give you an idea for anyone at home, I live by using graph paper. It's the only way my brain can kind of organize. I know it's a personal preference thing. I've been trying to color code things of yellow are things that I don't get done this day. They go onto the next day's list. Orange are hot items that need to get done. This was the list that I put together for my birthday. And at the top, after I got done writing this massive list, all I could think to write was "Welcome to 35." This is so. I don't know. I'm crispy today. I'm a little burnt out. So the topic should be interesting. For anyone curious what I'm geeking out about, I decided to use my birthday money to go get myself a sweet ass bokeh lens.
Ooh.
And it's awesome. I sent the photo to Jamie, but looking forward to it. So now my camera kit is complete.
Tell us about your new lens. Tell us about your new lens, Brandon.
I wish I could tell you a ton about it. I haven't really had a chance to dig into it a whole lot. Let me see what the specs are. I'm trying to remember. It is a It's a Panasonic Lumix. Let me see. Hang on. Vamping.
Do you remember how the focal length?
It's a 25 millimeter, but because it's Micro Four Thirds, everything doubles, 50. So it's actually a 50. Yeah.
So you got yourself a nifty 50. Nice.
So that's actually really nice. Here we go. If it'll load, there we go. Panasonic Lumix G lens, 25 millimeter, f/1.7. So it's fast. It's got that creamy bokeh. And it's surprisingly cheap.
Nice.
Just to give people an idea, this lens was $147. Best Buy price matched it. I was able to pick it up on Saturday day of.
That's great.
Yeah. So it cost me very little to have. You know, basically the kit lens that came with it, I believe, does 25 to 42. And then I've got one that's a telephoto that does 40 to 150.
Mm-hmm.
So 80 to 300 essential equivalent.
Yeah.
So I basically got between three lenses. I cover everything from, relatively close shots, half foot, just shy of macro lens, legit wide angle telephoto, big lenses, the whole kit, camera, battery, all the lenses and cases in my bag only end up weighing about 6 pounds total.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So it's not a killer on my back to carry everything. So in turn, I have my camera with me along with all my lenses all the time.
That's so good.
Yeah, like, so for anyone who is getting curious about cameras, Jamie's digging into, like, the old school full frame stuff, and I hold no ill will. I'm not one of these camera elitist douchebags or whatever it is. I strictly pick Micro Four Thirds for two reasons. One, the Olympus Micro Four Thirds that I picked up has that really traditional black and silver look, and I think it's really classy and rad. Two, it was super light and easy to pack, and those are my requirements. I didn't get the super, super nice one. You know, if you're curious about it, I think I got the EM Mark II. There's a 3 that's much nicer. The camera cost me about $500, and it comes with a really nice kit lens, and it's reliable. I had our own Steven Speed shoot a bunch of photos for the Art Fight show. He managed to use it all night taking photos, and the battery died right at the end of the last match. He managed to get... I know it wasn't 100% charged when I gave him the battery, but he managed to get 550 photos.
Oh, that's great.
Before the battery ducked out, and yeah, I can get a pack of batteries for like $23. So the cost of everything has been really low. So if you're curious about getting into cameras, I'm talking a full kit, the camera, the kit lens, a Nifty 50, the telephoto, and then the batteries, you're still talking under $1,000.
That's great. For all of that.
That's if I add the batteries.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah. Right. So, like, if you guys are interested in getting into photography, you can kind of do it piecemeal like I did. I went a little hard in the paint just because I ended up having a little extra birthday cash and decided to do something fun and treat myself. But my telephoto lens also was only $200.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So, by comparison, if you guys ever start pricing it out or whatever it is, be mindful about this sort of thing. If you buy something super nice, it's absolutely super nice. But if you don't know how to use it, who cares? So yeah, I mean, I feel confident.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I feel confident with what I have. I'm never going to be a professional photographer. Never plan to, never want to. I don't have that ambition. But I'd like to be able to take some really nice photos and be able to document a lot of my travels and my trips and what have you.
Yeah.
And that's important.
And the portable kit is perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, so, and it's better than your phone, because you can go like super long and close up and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's also really satisfying by comparison to your phone. Like, you take your phone out, no one, at least no one that I know, really has an intention of going out and taking photos with their phone.
Yeah.
It's a great camera for the old adage of it's the one you have on you. And I have no fight there for that. And I've taken a lot of fun photos, you know, with my phone because it's available to me. But every time I wish, you know, that I see some really cool vista or something like that in my travels, I always wish I had a camera. That's why I pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
Yep. So, Jamie, what are you geeking out about?
Well, I figured today would be just a recap show because I went away for the weekend.
Fucking tell me about your travels, sir.
And I feel like Brandon Chalmers, you would have had a better time with me, even with the mishaps that went along the way. But that's okay. I understand you had a work trip. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. By the way, if anyone's curious, trips with Jamie to Chicago, trips for work to not Chicago, where I'm on the scale. No offense to work. Work is work. I'm committed. I'm in it to win it. But work doesn't take me to go get Suckling Pig. Work doesn't, you know, turn me into a backup singer for Young MC. Work doesn't take me to some weird, like, basement John Woo film cutaway to go get soup dumplings.
Oh,
so
good.
Yeah. God damn it. I have had more, and I ironically, unironically for the white dude to say, I have had more great Asian food experiences with you in Chicago than I have. And we did Suckling Pig.
Yeah,
we
that did was great. Duck.
We did that Thai consulate that had that really rad restaurant under it with the lady that just brought us food.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
Right. Yeah. What else? Not Asian food, but we went and hit up that weird Mexican place and got pork tongue, beef tongue tacos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those were super rad. Trying to think of what else there was. I mean, we did the deep dish thing. Yeah. We did that underground market where everyone else got like mall version Chinese food, and we got like what, soup dumplings, and got Phil Chan got us like weird meats on stick, which I don't even know what it is. I think we had chicken heart. I'm not really clear.
It was all good.
Yeah, it was all good. Like I didn't want to ask.
Did you have beef? Did we have beef that time?
I think we had beef as well. No, the first time we had beef.
Okay.
Yeah, right before we left, your sister-in-law took us to go get a beef. I ended up getting the combo. I got a red hot inside and then beef on top.
So
yeah.
Good.
If I'm going to do it, I don't know how many times I'm going to have the opportunity. I am not missing an opportunity to have sausage and beef.
Yeah. Well, Phil Chan, he got offered to – he's going to C2E2 this year at the end of the month. And okay. The guy he's working with, his representative to the convention, was like, hey, do you want to pick up this other booth next to you? It's like $600. And I for a half a tick, I was like, it's not worth it, but it might be worth it. but next year.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah. Yeah, next year.
Yeah. So I went out to visit my brother because he's turning 40 this year.
Nice.
And so... the plan was go out Friday morning, hang out, and then come back on the red eye Sunday morning.
Well, hang on. You should also be clear where you're heading out to.
Oh, sorry. Seattle, Washington, or Seattle gotcha. Area, Washington State, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So Thursday morning, I get a call from, our editor. Me and a friend of mine have a book deal. We're working on it. I can't really tell you much more, except
right
that
on.
I'm working on promotion material right now because they have to talk to the distributor and all that kind of stuff.
Nice. And so nice.
We've been going back and forth about like cover design, and they finally approved it, and they're like, we like this one. Can we see a black and white version tomorrow? So this is Thursday, the day before going to Seattle. And
why are you like this? Oh my God.
So I get this email and I'm like, this is exciting. This is my first major project. I will get you that black and white version. Now, mind you, because it's the cover, I was thinking that I was going to paint it. So I did not sleep at all Thursday night. I pulled in an all-nighter, which is super unhealthy to do, but I painted this black and white cover. I sent it off and I was like, Here's what I got. This is what I was thinking. Here's a clean version. Here's a version with the title graphics on it. I'm leaving for Seattle today. I'm not going to be back until, early Monday morning, because I'm taking the red eye Sunday evening. But,
right.
You know, I fully plan on, I know you need it next week because you need to talk to the distributor. I fully plan on working all day Monday to get it done.
Right.
So
okay.
I think I'm good to go.
Okay.
Go to Dulles, park the car. Get on the shuttle, go through TSA. If you don't have TSA pre, you should get it.
Okay.
You should totally get it. It's $80. And I don't know if it's for a year or 2 years or however long it is, but you bypass taking off all your clothes to go through the thing. And
nice.
The line is short. So if you ever flew in the early 80s, and you remember what that was like, because I used to, when I was growing up, we would go to California the entire time. It's like that. You show up, you walk through, they wand you, and you're good to go. I mean, that's wow. What it's like.
That's rad.
It's awesome. It takes an hour of waiting through the TSA line. It takes 10 minutes, tops.
Jesus.
It's a joy. And if you fly more than like twice a year, I highly recommend TSA pre. I'm not we're not sponsored by TSA pre, but we should be.
I'm down with that.
So that's rad. We land early, but we're so early that there's no place for the plane to go. So we sit on the tarmac. I, like a good little millennial, bust open my phone to check my email.
God damn it.
I get an email and it's, hey, this is great. We need the cover by Monday morning so we can talk to the distributor. Mind you, me being an idiot, I did not bring any of my gear with me because
why would you?
Yeah, because I was fully intending to spend the entire weekend just playing video games with my brother.
Yeah.
The new season of The Drifter is out. You know, Destiny. We're going to play Gambit Prime the entire weekend. If you like Gambit, Gambit Prime is better because it's shorter because there's only one round.
Yay.
So I start to panic, of course. I'm sitting on this plane, nowhere to go, and I'm like, fuck. First thing I think, okay, maybe I can get an early flight, like a flight earlier, and come home. I check, because I bought my tickets at the discount rate, you can't really change your flights.
Yeah.
So right. I would have to buy a new ticket. So I look up new ticket prices. They start at like $700.
Fuck and, that. That's not like, happening.
At that point, I might as well buy a fucking Surface Pro from the Microsoft store and work.
Oh, shit. Here. Jamie.
And so I text my brother and I'm like, Matt, I don't know what to do. I have to get this covering done by Monday. I don't have a machine to work on. Is there a possibility that, you know, you guys have an intern room where I can possibly work at your studio and do stuff? And I'm writing this and I'm like, and I'm sitting there as I'm writing this, I'm saying, there's no way in hell Bungie has an open workstation for some dumb fuck to hang out at.
I bet they do.
They might, but I didn't have to find out because Matt wrote back. He says, I got you covered. I got an extra machine that I'm not using. I'm setting it up to play Destiny. And I was like, if it can play Destiny, it can run Photoshop. We're good there. All I need is a Wacom tablet and the original file because
right.
I didn't bring anything with me. So
right.
Matt picks me up. We go to Best Buy. We get a Wacom tablet, the medium size. It's not what I'm used to, but it'll work in a pinch. Get to his house, set up the thing. I call Audrey and I say, Audrey, can you drop this file onto my Dropbox? Now, here is a half a hint for all of you kids out there who are thinking about being an illustrator or anything digital. Name your files and name them something that someone else can figure out. Pretend that you have to work with someone else because yep. This is a habit I've gotten into since I've gone into the working world because my very first job, I didn't know anything about like file management or system management. I wouldn't name my layers. I wouldn't name my files. I just knew like Photoshop 1. Oh, that's what this is. Photoshop 2. Oh, that's what this is. No. Name your files, name your folders. And because I did that, Audrey was easily able to find what the fuck I was looking for, dump it on my Dropbox.
Okay, good.
So, get to my brother's house. He fires up this laptop that he got for free from one of his coworkers. It has a big crack in the screen. It doesn't work. It does not want to load Photoshop. It doesn't want to load any of the drivers. It's just not working. So he's looking around. He's like, all right. Goes on Amazon, orders a keyboard and a mouse, and he picks up this Alienware tower and he says, yeah, we're gonna set this up for you. I'm not like, what the fuck? He just had this Alienware tower hanging out in the living room that he hasn't used for like ever. He just picked it up from work one day and was like, because they, you know, every once in a while they get rid of old hardware and stuff like that. So 3 hours later, keyboard and mouse show up. Plug in the keyboard, plug in the mouse, plug in the Wacom, get everything sorted, download the programs, download the file, download Photoshop because I subscribe to the Creative Cloud and I shit on it all the time, but it allows me to install Photoshop wherever the fuck I want.
There you go.
Everything's set, everything is good to go. And so like I got a chance to breathe. I got a chance to relax. We went out to get pizza and then we went to the wrestling show.
So this is the same night.
This is the same night.
I thought mine was stressful.
It was a moment. And I was counting my lucky stars that my brother works in the tech field. Because otherwise I would have been absolutely screwed. I would have blown this deadline. I don't know what this would have done to our relationship between us and the publisher. I'm sure it would have been fine because I'm sure they've had to deal with people like this before, but this is like our first deal. So I didn't want to fuck it up. So anyway, wrestling. I was excited because I like the man's beating up the other man's.
Hell yeah.
As you do too. There's a promotion out there called DeFi Wrestling. I think there's a couple other ones out there, but DeFi seems to be pretty big. Because when I got in there, they had... So, like, it's this old-time theater. It has two floors. Like, there's a small stage on one end. There's the general floor here, and then there's, like, another balcony level that goes all the way around it and stuff. And they have the ring in the middle. They had two hard cams set up top. So nice. A hard cam by the DJ booth and a hard cam by the side. They had two floor cameras. So one guy walking around, always on the action, and another guy getting like crowd reaction shots and main action. Then they had three photographers
okay.
just running around and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, right on.
And apparently my brother and his friends and his coworkers, they always get the same row. So like they get the front row by the stage. If you go through like their social media, you'll see my brother in some of the shots just yelling and going like, ah,
nice.
My mom is in one of the shots because like one time he took my mom to the show. So there's my brother and she's going like, ah.
Oh my God. I would love to go to a wrestling show with your mom. Cause your mom is a delight to start with.
Oh yeah.
Like, the idea of going and having her shout things as random sweaty wrestler dudes sounds like the best Saturday ever.
It I can only imagine how awesome it is because my mom does martial arts. So she has an appreciation for people beating the shit out of each other.
Right, yeah.
So the other thing is you can tell that they're all from the same crew because they have Bungee Club shirts.
Okay.
Like Bullet Club style, but they have like the raid skull, like when you die, the raid skull, and then they have Thorn and the Last Word on them, and I was like, man.
Gotcha. Okay, so they're total nerds.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have like a month, I guess they do monthly shows or whatever, but they are there every time, that entire row.
Gotcha.
So it was cool. Like they had the chants going and all that kind of stuff. Do you remember when we went to see Keith that one time, there was a guy who had painted half of his face like a skull.
Yes.
And really skinny build, but like super athletic, did the flippy
news. Yeah, really, really capable though. Yes.
Darby Allin. Allin. Allin, Darby fucking Allin. And he was there and I was like, I know that dude. He was up against this really big guy named Swerve. Who is sort of like one of their OG guys. He's like what their AJ Styles kind of dude. He's like he helped build the brand out there. He helped do the thing. Brandon Chalmers. Six matches that night. Match number three. This is the intermission match. This is the match that, you know, it's a good match, but it's not supposed to be the best match. It was the best.
Yeah.
It was the best match. It was the best goddamn.
Because Darby Allin put on a clinic?
Darby Allin, Swerve and Darby Allin destroyed each other. Like, they went hard in the paint. Like, Darby Allin is a skinny dude, and I don't know what happened, but he ran at Swerve. Swerve sidestepped him, and somehow Darby Allin's body went through the top and the middle rope, like here.
Okay.
He bounced off the post and hit the floor. And it made that sound. You know that sound when bone
that loud crack.
Yeah, the loud crack. And everyone ran over, like all the security guys and oh God. And you know, he was just crawling around and he got back up and that was at the beginning of the match.
So they're setting a precedence early. No one goes to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Not on this match.
Yeah, not on this match. This is a no DQ match. They pulled out a chair from under the table.
Nice.
They pulled out tacks in the middle of the floor. Like,
wow.
Darby Allin got body slammed into the tacks. Like, at one point, Swerve tried to put Darby Allin on a chair so he could jump off the top rope and double kick him. And every time he got on the chair, he would just kind of fall off to one side
over.
And they put him on and fall off to the other side. Swerve goes out the ring, goes under the ring, grabs the ducto tapo, tapes Darby Allin to the chair.
To the chair.
Jumps up and slams him down. And you think that's the end, but it's not.
No. So wait, so the dude was duct taped to a chair and then kicked out?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, somehow.
I love that.
And that's awesome. He did one of those moves where he grabbed the chair, got on the top rope, sat in the chair in the air, and then like body slammed the other guy with the chair. Like, Brandon, this was a magical match. And like nice. Swerve lost.
Okay.
It was a good beat. Darby Allin won. It was clean, you know, no shenanigans, even though with DQ, the tax thing. And so he gets on the mic and he's like, you know, other guys would be pissed. Other guys would be, you know, jump him in the corner like right after the match. But no, you know, this was the best match. This was the great match to go on out on. And I was like, he's leaving.
This is his last match.
This is his last match.
You got to watch his farewell tour.
And he was saying that, like, you know, he didn't tell us where he was going. But, you know, it sounded like one of the other promotions, like not like a coastal move, but like one of the bigger known names. At least that was my impression. But everyone from the back came out and like gave him the hugs and the big send off.
That's awesome.
And his theme music is Ain't Nobody from Chaka Khan. And like, I've never seen a whiter room get down to Chaka Khan than this one. Like, everyone's singing along to this thing, and it's just, it was amazing. It was great.
God damn.
It was so good. I wish you were there.
I gotta be honest with you, Jamie. I'm a little disappointed that you've never come out to an art fight to Chaka Khan.
I mean, that's gonna be my next.
Because I think that needs to be your entrance music from this point forward. Like, I really do. I know you put a lot of time into using your own entrance music. Yeah. But man, you want to set yourself apart from somebody else? That's it right there.
Yeah, like, ain't nobody loves me better. Like, the whole, like,
God damn.
It was great. Not only that, Tajiri and Super Crazy. Tajiri and Super Crazy.
Oh!
They did a match.
Nice. I always love Super Crazy.
Yeah.
That dude is like, he's built like somebody's grandpa, and he has no business moving at the speed and with the agility that he does, being that fat of a dude. Like, it is literally the definition of a dude who will kill a 12-pack and easily $35 of fast food and then do a big stretch and a bend and then all of a sudden springboard flip into the ring and then just kind of one of these roll his shoulders and the next thing you know, he's lighting bitches on fire. Oh. It's like, how? How is that physically like, I don't get the physics of it. I don't understand the science of it. Like, he is like the human version of the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Like, it literally runs on trash and somehow it flies and goes faster than anything else on the planet. Like, and I don't get it.
And he still does it. Like, he hasn't lost a step. I don't know how long he's been in it, but him and Tajiri put on a great match. It was beautiful to see. Tajiri did the green mist thing.
Nice.
That sold. I mean, and you know, they had love for each other. I was pissed that I didn't have any cash because they were selling stuff, like they were selling shirts at intermission and stuff. But they did a great match.
That's awesome.
Ultimo Dragon came out. Ultimo Dragon and Matt Cross. Dragon gave us high fives. I was like, I'm never washing this hand. I need to wash this hand. I'm never washing this hand.
Yeah.
But Matt Cross can fly. Like,
yes.
I posted some photos, and there's one of him just doing this super backflip off the top rope, and it was incredible.
If memory serves, Matt Cross is actually Son of Havoc in Lucha Underground. So if anyone's ever watched Lucha Underground or gets curious about it, he has the only proper mask that I've ever seen a dude with a beard have. I don't know where he bought it. I want it. I've looked for it. I can't find it. But basically, like, it's essentially like a Lucha mask with just the bottom cut out.
Yeah.
And like, so he's got the beard all hanging out of everything, and the dude can move.
He was awesome.
He's super capable.
He was great. Ultimo Dragon made him look good. Matt made Ultimo look good. Like, Ultimo got all his shit in. Matt Cross got all his shit in. Matt Cross lost, but like, you know, Ultimo.
That's okay.
Ultimo put him over, like you're supposed to.
Right. It's Ultimo fucking Dragon. You gladly take the bump and take the pin from Ultimo Dragon because it's Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then their headliner was Darby Allin versus some other dude, and I didn't catch his name, but I don't.
Wait, Darby Allin came out twice?
No, sorry. Oh, okay. Artemis Spencer. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I don't know these guys, but like Artemis Spencer was the headliner. He's their current champion. And holy shit, this guy, he's one of those tall dudes. So you don't think he's got the flippy doos.
Right. He's got the flippy doos.
He's got the flippy doos. Like they were doing some crazy shit off the top rope. Like, I don't know, man. They're taking some pages out of somebody's school, because there was a lot of flying that I was not expecting, and it was amazing. Like I think our friend Keith would do well if he ever changes coasts to get with these guys, because Defy puts on an amazing show.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a great wrestling night. Like, I had a great time when we went to the Six Flags thing, but like the energy in this club was great, or this venue.
Well,
was,
yeah. I remember years and years and years ago going to a Dragon Gate show with Super Fights Marty Day, along with a couple other friends, and it was at the old ECW arena.
Nice.
And it was super sketchy and really good, and I had an awesome experience with everybody there. I watched Too Cool Scorpio almost kill one of the guys from the Spirit Squad, Kenny Dykstra. Matches were a hell of a lot of fun, but the energy of that room, like, I've also done MCW shows, and if anybody gets the opportunity, by the way, there's MCW Maryland Championship Wrestling has an arena in Joppa, Maryland, like shy of Bel Air. It's like kind of sketchy, but kind of not. And it's a small venue. They clearly, like, the one half of the building is a flea market. The other half is the MCW Wrestling School. And then they host shows right out of it.
So good.
And, like, they do their own TV. They do their own everything. They've had a bunch of people come in. So, like, when we went, we were, ironically enough, China was actually supposed to appear, but she wasn't. We had no idea that China was in the state that she was in before she passed, unfortunately. Yeah. But Billy Gunn ended up showing up, like, on short notice to fill in for her, signed all the autographs, came down, high-fived everybody. I ended up taking my buddy Phil and his son Sean as a Christmas gift. Billy Gunn stopped over, high-fived Sean, like, couldn't have been cooler with everybody. All the wrestlers were super cool, all the kids. Like, that's and awesome. We were in front row, and the show was electric. Like, they put on a great show. The crowd was maybe 300 people, maybe. Uh-huh. But because it's in that confined space,
it was
electric. Actually, you know, one of the other guys who was actually on that card was current WWE superstar Leo Rush.
Oh, cool.
Who is just as terrible in person as he is on TV.
Oh, nice. So
yeah,
hurry,
cannot stop, dude. Anywho,
I think next time Keith's group gets anywhere near us at a club venue, we have to try to make it.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree. We need to go see that good old Keith Youngblood. So that was first day.
That was Friday.
Right.
Yeah, that was Friday.
Right.
Saturday, Matt spent most of the day playing Destiny. I spent most of the day working on the cover. So we were both being super nerds. We ate leftover pizza from the other night before. But the plan was to go to karaoke that night. So Brandon Chalmers, I do not drink.
No, you do not.
So I get to have a unique perspective on drunk people in the wild and observe them in their natural habitats.
I think instead of observe, you mean tolerate. And God bless you for that. As someone who you've tolerated on multiple occasions, thank you for that.
So we all met up at Bungie, because most of the people that we're going out with are Bungie related or Bungie people. They got Matt three gifts. One of them was I don't know if you've seen these model kits, but they have these really high detailed model kits of the Dragon Ball Z characters.
Okay.
Where, like, the, you know, if they move the arms, the muscles, like, move up and stuff.
Oh, Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, these figure eyes, it's from Bandai. So they're they did a similar run of the Kamen Riders, but they didn't sell as well as these Dragon Ball ones. So, like, you know, their arms move and they're really high detailed and sculpted stuff. And then one of his other friends got him, like, one of those the light bulbs that changes colors, or, like, that lighting set where you can program it to do different things. Like
the Philips Hue?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have that in my living room. I absolutely love it. If anyone is curious, that is a second endorsement. Well worth the cost and super fun. Plus, it'll connect remotely. So if your wife happens to be sitting in the living room and you happen to be maybe in another state, you can totally change the lights and then turn them off on her.
Yeah,
web connect. I definitely turn the lights off on my wife in Chicago. 100%.
It means you care. You're thinking about me.
Yeah, it was literally like, yeah, I don't know. This is probably about the time. Click, click, click. And, like, it'll do a whole bunch of other colors. So I was literally just switching in between, like, Christmas colors and, like, Tahitian breeze, where it was, like, purples and oranges, and, like, switching a bunch of colors. And then I turned them off. And, like, Kel texted, she's like, are you messing with the lights? And I was like, I can't. I'm in Chicago. She's like, quit messing with the lights.
That's like, amazing. Okay. That's amazing. Yeah.
So if honestly, just to torture, also the fun thing would be if you have children, you can totally turn their lights off on them and let them not do anything with that.
Oh, my God. I think we might need to do that with Hazel when she gets older, because she's going to be one of those kids who reads in bed till like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And then they gave him a joke gift, throat spray, throat numbing spray
for
when you need to, like,
yeah, for second dates,
for putting things down your throat. And one of his coworkers baked a dick cake.
Like,
this nice dick. I have photos that I can't show anybody because it was at Bungie, right. I could show you in person. But it was like it was actually a pretty decently sized cake, and I don't eat cake, so I didn't get to try it. But then from there, we went to Rockbox in Capitol something in Seattle.
Right on, okay.
So I don't know how many karaoke bars you've gone to in your lifetime.
Not many. I've had the one experience where we went to that place near Honey Pig.
Okay.
When it was still open, that was like legit style. Like, you book a room,
yeah,
you go in, you do it that way. I've been to many karaoke nights at proper, like, bars.
Yeah.
But not like a karaoke club sort of experience.
Yeah. So this place also had private rooms that you could rent, but we weren't there. They also had like the main lobby. It's a lot. Right. It's not the bar. It's a lobby. It's like the size of our dining room. There's a bar, and behind the bar, that's where they put up the words. And then next to, like, on the other side is the DJ booth that takes up more room than the dance floor. But you just, you grab the mic and then you just call out whoever's next and you hand the mic to that person. And if they don't show up, you just hold on to the mic and sing the song or ask him to skip it or whatever.
Okay.
There are regulars at this place.
Shocker.
And one of them really, really likes show tunes from really depressing musicals like Les Mis and Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, God.
He sang Javert. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Les Mis, but it's a downer.
Not really.
I
know it's a downer.
It's a downer. The movie is a downer. The play is a downer. The musical is a downer. There's a song where the cop is. So basic rundown. There's a cop chasing this one guy who was in jail for stealing bread to feed his family because France. And the cop finally realizes that he's on the wrong side of this and he can't cope with it. So he sings a song right before he commits suicide by jumping off a bridge and drowning himself. And that is the song that this person chooses to sing at the karaoke bar.
I have questions, but realistically, my only rebuttal is, shouldn't a karaoke bar be responsible enough to not have that in the rotation?
I would, yes. If that, like, was me, yes.
You know, like, if you have a jukebox, you load it with whatever songs you want the tone of the bar to be.
You
make sure that if you're trying to have a feel-good sort of environment, Patsy Cline is not in the rotation. Like, you just – you make sure that no one can work their shit out on your dime.
Uh-huh. I agree with you. This particular individual also chose the music of the night, which is from Phantom of the Opera, which is the song the Phantom sings to Christine, which is basically him confessing that he's been stalking her this entire time and is super obsessed with her and is way into her shit and believes that she is supposed to love him because fate and things, because of the music of the night. This is not a karaoke bar song.
And
dude wasn't even that good. Like, if you're gonna
shocker.
If you're gonna sing, like, if you go to karaoke with Zara, no one else sings because Zara is phenomenal because she can actually fucking sing.
She's a voice actress, of course she can sing.
This guy is no Zara Fuzzle.
See, so. Hang on a second. By the way, I challenge Zara to an Eddie Vedder off, because I can tell you right now, one of the two of us is going to do a photo accurate version of Jeremy, and it's the dude who's accurately wearing flannel right now. All
true,
right?
But
like, let me be clear. I am ready to fucking play some Jeremy right now. Like, I will temple the dog the fuck out of it. Like, she can be the Chris Cornell to my Eddie Vedder, and we can temple the dog of that shit.
Yes. Yeah, so like mixed in between like the fun bar songs was this musical shit, and I was blowing up Audrey on message. She was asleep, thank God, but I was like, listen to this bullshit right here. They're doing fucking Les Mis. They did songs from Rent, and of
did
course
you
everybody
cut a video. How did you not post any of this on Instagram?
I brought my stupid little point and shoot, and I was trying to get photos out of this thing. This thing is not good in low light, so.
Right, but you had your phone. You could have literally recorded video and publicly shamed this, like, high school musical disappointment. Like, the community college summer stock champion of 1986 is trying to work out his emotional issues.
Yeah.
And, like, he should be paying for a therapist, but instead he's screaming into a half-empty room full of disappointed people.
Yeah.
It was
a thing.
Look, okay, let me be clear also. If you have children and your children like to sing and they're not good because they're children and they're trying to work out their shit, I don't care how many beers you have to drink to get through it. You need to sit there and listen to them sing Papa Roach or My Chemical Romance or whatever the thing is that they need to work their own shit out, okay?
Yeah.
So that the rest of us don't have to.
Yeah, please, right? Motherfucker.
This is your parents. You decided to have children, so you have to listen to their acoustic version of Black Parade so that we don't have to. You can encourage them to record a YouTube video and send it off into the world, and you can go ahead and you can keep that on your Facebook wall. Don't you share that with anybody else.
Yeah.
And don't you let them go out in the world and think that's okay. It's not.
Yeah. Matt got in a couple songs, actually. One of his favorite to do is the live version of Friends in Low Places.
Okay.
Because there's a third verse that ends with, like, and you can go home and kiss my ass or something like that. And at that point, my brother is well sauced and just shouting into the mic, like,
damn, I love when your brother properly drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he got
brother's a f-ing drunk. An aggressive drunk, but a fun drunk.
Yeah, he's pretty fun.
I could not imagine if I was half my size trying to drink with your brother, because he gets very, like, chummy and slappy, and I don't know if that got like overconfidence because I got a country mile of real estate up here or whatever. Yeah. It was, but the last time, like, I really drank with your brother,
yeah,
it was a lot of like crack on the back, man, we're absolutely we're gonna hang out and it's gonna be awesome. Awesome.
That's why you need to come
shaking.
That's why you have to come to San Diego with us.
I know.
We'll figure out a way to get you out there at some point.
Yes, I absolutely want to take that trip.
But yeah, like it was cool. They ran up a $250 bar tab.
Okay.
How
many people?
Like 10.
Oh shit, that's really not that hard.
So it was a good number. And then we went to, and this is where things get fun. We went to a different bar, and this is where I really wish you were there, because Brandon Chalmers, when you are with a group and I am with a group, that becomes our group. If yes. anyone tries to start shit with us, it doesn't matter if we just met an hour ago, we will protect our own. We will protect yes. this house. We will
yes.
under armor this shit like no one else.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, we could have met 5 minutes ago. It doesn't matter. If you are with yeah. us, you are with yeah. us.
If you are part of the crew, if you are friend adjacent, hey, this is my friend so-and-so. Hey, how's it going? What's going on? Yada, yada, yada. And I even get a half conversation with you. Some dude walks by, pinches your ass. I'm telling you right now, I'm right in their business.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I'm mama bear like a mug. Right. Yeah. Right. It's going to be one of those things where I'll lean in if you know, I'm there, happily married man. I'm there. They're there, you know, single female or whatever it is. Some dude's leaning over. I'm going to get their attention for a half second. If you're not interested in this and you'd like to hang all over me and act like we're together, I'm totally comfortable with that to get this dude to stop hanging all over you. Like, I'm not trying to be a creeper, trying to give you an easy out. I totally get it. Like,
yeah.
that is my lot in life.
Yeah. So fortunately, we didn't have any of that going on.
Okay, good.
But, go to the second bar and everyone's piling in, you know, showing ID.
Right.
The drunkest person in our party starts talking to the bouncer because the bouncer's wearing a Red Sox hat. Or no, wait, blue, White Sox? What's a Sox?
Red Sox, White Sox.
Yeah, White Sox. It was a White Sox hat.
Okay, so it's a Chicago hat.
Yeah, it's a Chicago hat. And okay. And the guy said something about like, oh, Chicago. And the bouncer was like, yeah, what's your team? And he's like, oh, Cleveland Indians. And then...
So that's a rivalry.
And then, oh, I didn't even know that. Well,
yeah, they're adjacent cities, so that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Well, then that explains the rest of the evening. So I didn't think any of it. I go in, and the guy's still outside for some reason. One of the other people in our party was like, what the fuck is he still doing outside? So he goes outside. Apparently, guy's a Cleveland Indians fan. Said something to the effect of, well, I'm going to punch both of you in the face with my fist and then go into your bar and buy a beer. And the bouncer reacted as the bouncer would and says, you're not getting in my fucking bar.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of their job.
Yeah.
You've literally picked a fight with the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Like it's the sort of thing where like you got to the gate. And there's a very angry dog at the gate snarling. And instead of offering a steak, you slap that dog in the mouth.
Yep.
And then are surprised when that dog takes your arm off.
Yep. So they're not letting him in. The guy who came out comes back in and says, like, I don't know what our friend said, but they're not letting us in. And so I was like, all right, well, we're going to a different bar. So we all pile out. And we go to a different bar. And later I found out that that's why we were going to the different bar. But on the way to the place, I was like, I just met you. But if we need to kick the shit out of somebody, you let me know.
Right.
I kick hard and I'm the sober one. So I can kick accurately. and Matt was like, yeah, like I'm drunk, but I can still beat the shit out of somebody. So we end up at this like speakeasy type place where they serve nice wines and have like nice lounge chairs and all this kind of stuff.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
They gave me a Coke with a metal straw in it, Brandon Chalmers. Because that is the type of place this is.
Well, you know, I guess fuck it. You know what? I was gonna pick on it and call it kind of hipster, and it probably is, but good for a bar for using sustainable things. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and like you know, no fancy music, nothing bright, but it was like a cabana kind of thing. Like you almost expected it to be a beach outside, but it was in the middle of the city. So you know, random place, got to hang out and talk with people and all that kind of stuff. Nobody got into a fight. Everybody got home safe. And that was Saturday night.
Okay.
So I think you would have had a great time at both of those things, the wrestling and the drinking.
Yeah. Yes. Wrestling and drinking is definitely my wheelhouse. So, yeah, to no surprise, you had a good time. I'm glad about that.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we hung out with his kids. We got to see Captain Marvel, which was great. And then, you know,
nice.
Red Eye home. So,
right.
Pretty full 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like it. Jesus.
Yeah. Which is why next time I go out there, I don't know, maybe next year, if you're not doing anything for your birthday and if your company isn't taking you anywhere, maybe we could like arrange something.
Yeah.
Your birthday is around the same time.
Said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your brother's birthday is the 9th?
The 6th.
The 6th. Okay. So one day before. Mine's the 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you could get a tour of Bungie and you could hang out and then we could go karaoke and watch wrestling and maybe get into a bar fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I think that's it, man.
Yeah, Jesus. So, Jamie, I think what we've learned is as I sit here with my to-do list for work, working on organizing ops, my work Trello, that I think the lesson to be learned here is stop working so much.
Yes.
I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. I don't know how we undo that. Like I keep seeing all these really depressing things of like your desk shouldn't be your altar, and I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
We gotta like schedule some. You know what? That's what we need to do, Jamie. We need to schedule game time.
Yeah.
Silly as it sounds, like if you're an adult, that's it. That's what I'm doing right now. Okay, kids. Here's the lesson to be learned today. We always go into these things learning lessons and coming out on the other end, and I think I've got ours today. You're all going to overwork, because the reality is if you're following Jamie or you're following me, then you probably have that unique disease where you have a motor that you can't turn off.
Yeah.
Or you know someone who has a motor that they can't turn off.
Yeah.
You're going to need to either do it yourself and schedule some time to do fun stuff every week, or you're going to need to schedule it with that person and not tell them that's what you're doing, but make it a thing.
Yeah.
Video games, music, TV, something. You have to schedule something that they feel beholden to do to start kind of unwinding.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what this is, like us just
shooting. That's kind of what this is. Right. But like, otherwise, we would never really catch up this way with this thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think we learn this in other things.
Yeah. Like, we would talk after a meeting, but it wouldn't be like, you know, just shooting the shit like this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, we would be talking about meeting-related things and things that were from our day but not really from our day, and it would end up basically turning into a bitch fest.
Yeah.
The fact that we actually get a chance to have a conversation about random stuff and get into everything. Like, fuck it. At that rate, start a podcast. Go get a friend. And like, it doesn't cost much. The Yeti microphone's like $100. Go and do it. Do the same thing we're doing. It's not that difficult. I'm using my Mac camera for my MacBook.
Yeah, me too.
Like, right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not doing anything fancy. Go and do the thing. Find a friend. Talk about whatever it is. Talk about nothing. Like, just make it as an excuse. Who cares if no one actually listens? You and your buddy had a chance to actually get together and have a conversation. That shit's important.
Yeah, that's true.
Go do the thing, kids.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
And we need to visit my brother.
Yes.
On a weekend so he can get drunk.
Yes. Fuck yes. Jesus Christ. Poor you trying to haul me and your brother around. Because I know eventually it'll just turn into me carrying your brother around all officer and a gentleman style, or him deciding that I'm fucking Falcor and just hopping on my back, and there'll be a photo of him like arm up on my shoulder just going, yeah.
Atreyu. All right, man, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at ThatGuyChalmers. Where can they find you?
Jamie Noguchi on Instagram, Angry Zen Master on Twitter. You're here on the site, all this good stuff. Yep. And blah. See you next week.
Hi, kids.
Bye.